From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to continue in our study on Daniel and high impact living. Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Reread verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, the man that at that moment was his present authority. Then go with me to chapter 9, verse 23, when the angel appears to Daniel. Verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, loved, and favored. All of us like those words. We like to be favored. We like to be loved. Here's what that is. That's proof in God's eternal word, written by God himself, that Daniel's impact was so great that the authority, every authority that we see in Daniel's life, loved and favored him. Daniel influenced four different kings, four different kingdoms. And we see in the life of Daniel, in every chapter, we see there was something supernatural and something special taking place. And I know in our lifetime we've seen a few missionaries come through, Brother Matt Allen and Brother John Gray and others that are working in Papua New Guinea, and they've been able to win tribal chiefs and some of the elected officials, and they found favor with those people. But we see Daniel, really the ruling empire of the world, and the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Now I want you to understand this palace, we're dealing with a very wicked king, and here's what we often do with authority. We find a reason or excuse why we can't get along with the authority that God's put in our life. And if there's anybody on the planet that had an excuse, it was Daniel. Because Daniel could look at his present situation and say, my king, because of his rebellion against God, and my authorities, because of their rebellion against God, cost us our land. And that's the reason I'm living in captivity. And now I'm in the palace under Nebuchadnezzar. He's asking me to do things I really don't want to do. They go against my principles. So here's the question. How could he possibly hold his principles and yet find favor in the king's eyes? Yet the Bible says God had brought Daniel. Now that's the key. This was a supernatural act. God had brought Daniel in the favor and tender love with this prince that was in charge of him. And now here's what I've never understood, because I think this light came on early in my life, the benefit of having the right relationship with authority to me was always a positive thing. And I thought, why in the world would I want to fight with the very person that can help me advance in life? But so many young people make it their life's goal to be in constant conflict with authority, whether that be their parents or their teachers or their youth pastor. And that's, young people, a good way to go nowhere fast. Authority can help put you on the fast track, and the best thing you can do is not address that authority, but address your problems first, which means addressing your spirit and addressing your pride and letting God do something supernatural, because he's the only one that could do that anyways. It's rare for a follower to change the authority. They've got to change themselves first. And here's what you're going to see. His relationship with authority was always based on passionate prayer, something very absent from the lives of most Christians today. Now, if you have a problem in your life with an authority that God's put there, maybe for the wife, that's a husband, maybe for the children, that's their parents, maybe for an employee, that's their boss, maybe for a church member, that's their pastor, maybe for a ministry worker, that's the ministry leader. But if you're having a problem, passionate prayer can fix that problem, because God is a God of supernatural. If Daniel could find favor with the prince of the eunuchs, if Daniel could find favor with Nebuchadnezzar, if Daniel could find favor with Cyrus and with Darius, surely you can find favor with whatever authority God has put in your life. Well, Pastor, and nothing's working. You don't understand. There's a difference of personality. You don't understand. There's a conflict of interest. You got to understand we're on two very different pages. Well, God can put you on the same page. God can reconcile irreconcilable differences. I've watched him do it. So here's the question. How much time have you spent on your knees trying to fix that problem? Why is that a last resort in Christianity? First of all, we understand that God's the one that's going to have to fix it anyways. We understand this beyond our realm of capabilities. We understand there's no way I, with my beliefs, conviction, personality, differences, and there's just no way, humanly speaking, that we can be buddy-buddy. The issue is not being buddy-buddy. The issue is God working in this situation because you need authority on your side to advance. And it doesn't matter if that's children with their parents or employees with their boss or members with their pastor or workers with their leaders. It doesn't matter what level we're talking about. You've seen it on every level if you're over 35 or 40, and hopefully the light has come on. If you're 40 years old and you're fighting the authority in your life, maybe you're a little more helpless than we think. At some point, that light should have come on. Maybe a 20 or 21 or 22 or 25. 30 is really delayed. But there's got to be an understanding there. I need authority. And I know some kids are being accused of, well, he's a brown noser. He's on his way to being very successful in his life. Well, he has so many responsibilities. He has so many privileges that have come with those responsibilities. Well, he's advanced because he's made peace with the authority. And be careful, parents. Be careful with the plight of your children because you're responsible for their future. And when that child has a problem with authority and you side with that child against authority, you're hurting the future of the child. Because until they get reconciled with authority, they can't advance. I've never understood the concept of fighting with a parent. I've never understood the concept of fighting with my pastor. I've never understood the concept of fighting with my boss. I remember in my college years, we were working third shift and often stressed out. And you know, when you're going to college and you're taking a full load and then you're working third shift, and at the Baptist university that we're attending, that you still had to attend the daily activities, which meant you got very little sleep. And one of the college students that I worked with, he was in charge of our machine. One night he was stressed, and we ran a bunch of boxes, 10,000 to be exact. And they went through all the print and the folding, and they came back after they'd been waxed. This one of our more expensive boxes. When they came back to us for one last process, for one last crease, Howard, who's helped me, he creased it wrong and ran 10,000 boxes that had already been through the entire factory, the entire process. He didn't catch it. Matter of fact, they were getting ready to be shipped out, and our boss caught it. The floor manager got it. And Randy was not a happy man. He brought one of the boxes over there, and Howard was tired, and his eyes were bloodshot like normal. And his blood pressure was always high. And Randy said, Howard, I want to see your charts here. Why did you crease this at 8 inches instead of 10 inches? He said, that's the way it's supposed to be. He said, did you fold that box just to make sure it folded correctly? He said, no, because I know that's where it's supposed to be. He said, well, fold that box. And he attempted several times, and it wouldn't fold. And he said, well, I must have made a mistake. He said, no, you didn't make a mistake. You made 10,000 mistakes, because you didn't run one box, you ran 10,000. And suddenly Howard had a problem with the authority, and Howard began to yell at that authority, took that box, and we had a probably Billy worked in that plant with me. He's laughing because he knows what happened. And it had like a wire meshy, and Howard, in his fit of rage, he took one of those boxes, said, "You can take this and shove it." And he threw that box, and it stuck in that wire meshing. It was up there for like 3 months, just as a reminder of the retardation of someone that's mad at authority. And my boss said, "Howard, you know what? Officially, you are without work as of 2 seconds ago." Said, "Grab your stuff." Howard hadn't even hit the door yet. He said, "Adam, do you know how to run this machine?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You want a raise?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "It's your baby. Just don't make 10,000 mistakes." Now, you know what happened? Howard could have kept his job despite what he cost that plant that night with that mistake had he not lost his mind and his relationship with authority. How many times have people easily, they could have easily remedied a situation by reconciling with the authority, but they made the matter worse by hurting and lashing out at the very person that could help them. And we're talking about basic principles here. But these, we have to be reminded of the fact that in order to be a person of high impact, there's got to be a right relationship there with authority. Daniel said, "I want to advance for the honor and glory of God." Now, we're going to see his motive here in just a moment. These are not selfish motives. But here's what you see in this book. It still is hard to comprehend. Not that this man held a high position in the palace, but he did it under four different kings. That's pretty incredible. Look what it says. Verse 9, it says, he was favored and loved by the prince of the eunuchs. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Then the king, what did he do? He made Daniel a great man. Young people, you better get that concept. You better understand that principle. When he fell into favor with a man in authority, that man made him a great man. We know God was involved in this. But you better understand a principle. You can't fight authority and win. Not in the bigger picture. Look what it says in chapter 5, verse 29. Daniel 5, 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold upon his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now it was short-lived, because in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. But still, once again, we find him finding favor. Look what it says, chapter 6, verse 14. I think this is probably the most impressive of the four cases that we see in the book of Daniel. When he's getting ready to be thrown into the den of lions, here's what Darius says, and here's how he feels about Daniel. Then the king, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased in himself. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. An unsaved man who just had someone disobey his orders. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled to the king and said to the king, "Now, king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." You know what he was trying to do? Change an unchangeable law for a man that he loved and highly favored. That was his authority, saying, I'm willing to risk everything to save this man's neck. Now, if you're in a position where no authority is reaching out to defend you or help you, if you get fired and no authority stands up to help you keep that job, verse 18, after Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. You guys see what's taking place. Every time we see Daniel with the authority, we see a love and a favor like no one else in all the Bible, with the exception of Joseph. Wherever he went, whether that was the house of Potiphar or the jail or with Pharaoh, but these are the only two men in all the Bible that we see were favored and loved on this level. And there's a reason these are the only two that we see ascend to these positions of authority, because they made great friends with authority. Young people, you want to get this. You want to grasp this tonight, because you may have read something on the news or seen something on television about a 13-year-old with incredible intelligence, and he was graduating from college at the age of 15. You said, boy, if I was only that smart. And you watch down the road what they end up being. Here was a man that didn't have a super high IQ, but he was intelligent and very wise, and said, my fast track to success is making things right with my authority. This is how you have high impact living. You learn to help authority. You learn to honor authority. You learn to humbly submit to authority. That'll help you learn to handle authority. Look what it says in chapter 9. Now, this is even a greater king than Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius. Look what it says in verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, a commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. This is talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just by the other kings, but by the Creator, Jehovah God. Look what it says in chapter 10, verse 11. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. I believe he's speaking about on earth and in heaven. Chapter 10, verse 19. And said, O man, greatly beloved. Do you think God wants us to understand something? Daniel was loved. Amen. Have you ever met a young person that said, no one likes me? You know what that child just said? I have problems with authority. No one defends me. You know what that problem is? You know what that young person is saying? I have problems with authority. They're running into a brick wall everywhere they turn. Have you ever met someone that's being attacked and they say, well, you got it good because everybody loves you? You know what those kids are saying about that kid? You know how to make friends with authority. Young people, I would be a whole lot less concerned about impressing your classmate, being friends with the coolest kid in school, because I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no kid in school that's cool. I mean, they haven't learned how to wear their clothes. They haven't learned how to comb their hair. They haven't learned how to sit. The only thing they've perfected is the lean. The limp. The wobble. That's it. And none of that is cool. Unless you're in school. That's it. Young people, you want to make friends with authority, Because these people are not going to help you become successful because they're not successful. They may never be successful. Does this look like success to you? I would go find, if they're in a position of authority, that means they've already been successful on some level. Well, it's not fair because I'm as smart as they are. I'm smarter than they are. Well, God must have been confused about that when he put them in the position of leadership and not you. Amen, Pastor. When you do that, you'll actually be able to influence authority, and that's what you want to do anyways. You don't influence authority by arguing with authority, by fighting or living in conflict with authority. Now, think about Daniel's life for just a minute. Here's a man under these kings that was loved and preferred because he was trusted. You know as well as I, it doesn't matter what government it is, what nation it is. There are always people vying for position. Now, here's what I like about a church. I'm a leader of this church, and every personality is different. Every pastor is different. Every leader is different. Since I was a church planner, and I know the difficulties of building a work, I never felt threatened by someone else taking my position or my power. I've never felt that way. I never felt that way at Capital City. When I came in and originally took over the church and had to deal with some issues and dealt with a few threats, I actually had a person say, well, you're not going to make it another 6 months. And I said, well, you're going to have to come up with something worse than that to make me feel threatened. Let me see. I could go to the mission field, or I could go start a church, or I can deal with more headaches in your kind for another 6 months. So don't threaten me. But there are people that feel threatened and live. Can you imagine, especially a king? We know kings that were killed so someone else could come, even by their own children, slain. So they could overthrow the throne and take that power. And you know why he served under four kings? Because they were being slain. You know, Belshazzar, he's celebrating and he elevates Daniel to a position of power. And the next thing you know, you got people changing the course of the river and coming underneath that wall and conquering them is a kingdom. And here's why authority loves and reveres this kind of person, because when someone is easy to trust, they're definitely going to be preferred and favored. Well, kids say, I don't understand Dad. He prefers Johnny. He's easy to trust. Well, I don't understand that teacher. Every time she leaves, she puts him in charge, and he's not even the oldest. That must mean he's the easiest one to trust. Well, I can't believe that Pastor Ben would have favorites. I can. Some kids are easier to love than others. Well, what makes a person easier to love? You got to be easy to trust. If you're put in a position where the youth pastor's wondering, what are they going to do? What happens behind the closed door? Can I trust them in that vehicle? I don't even know if I can trust them with the leader present. You're not going to go up his list of favorites. In all authority, want someone that they can trust in their absence. Daniel was obviously not just the man of the hour, but the man under every king that eventually came in that position, because they said, we can trust this man. Now, you would notice three or four short principles. Number one, loved and preferred. These are people that don't take it for granted that they're the exception to every rule. Let me repeat that. Here's what I like about Daniel. There's so much here. I can use anything as a springboard. Hallelujah. Now it's right here. You know what chapter 1 is about? Daniel wasn't saying, I'm the exception. I'm going to make myself the exception. I don't want to drink wine. I don't want to eat meat. I don't want to live that way. Not going to do it. Be careful. This isn't just for young people tonight. This isn't just for teenagers. This is for everyone on every level. It's hard to be loved and preferred when a person is lifted up in pride and continually considers himself the exception to every rule. So they go to work in a business, and the boss says, you have an hour for lunch. Well, I think I'm the exception. You better understand, it's going to take me an hour and 15 minutes to eat. Young people. And this happens on every level. This happens in a church. Well, I'm in a leadership position. It doesn't matter that you know what this church preaches and what it practices, and you've been to the leadership meeting, and you even signed the leadership agreement and pact that says, I will dress a certain way, and I'll behave a certain way, and I'll be faithful to the services, and I'll support the ministries and programs of this church. And there at the bottom, in big, bold letters, you sign your name and then leave and say, well, really, I'm the exception to those rules. I think everyone else should be faithful, but I don't need to be faithful. Pastor, can you believe that teacher just didn't show up on Wednesday? You're the only exception. I believe everyone else ought to dress modest, but Pastor, I'm going to personally determine the length of my skirts. Here's what Daniel said. Now, here's the difference. Most people consider themselves the exception, so they feel free to break the Bible principle. Daniel was the opposite. Daniel didn't ever consider himself the exception. So he said, now I'm being forced to break a Bible principle. He didn't stand up and break the principle. He didn't stand up and break the rule. He went discreetly and appropriately, had a meeting with the man in charge, the immediate authority in his life, and said, what do you think about the concept of me eating beans and rice? And if I look worse, if I get you in trouble, let's do a 10-day, 14-day, let's do a couple-week test, and if things work out well, I don't want to put your neck on the line. I don't want to create a stir. I don't want to cause a problem. I don't consider myself the exception. Now, young people, you want to know how to get yourself in trouble with authority? When the teacher says, don't do that, well, I think I'm the exception. She said, don't talk in class because she was talking to people with low IQs, but the intelligent ones like me. When she said, do that assignment, she doesn't know. I'm the only one that really doesn't need to do that assignment. I mean, come on. I could probably test out of every class in this school. Now, tonight, a few of you are looking amused and a few are looking bemused. But how many times have we found ourselves in life considering or thinking ourselves to be the exception to the rule? Not based on principle, not based on a conviction. Simply based on I like it or I don't like it, and because of that, I'm officially, as of this moment, giving myself a free pass. And if they ask, here's my card with my signature. I got an autograph right there, and it's mine. I am the exception. Doesn't matter what teacher it is, what grade it is, what level it is, what boss it is, what pastor it is, what ministry leader it is. There's always someone. Guess what? That's a way to find yourself in the category of the least favored. Because if it was truly a principle, not a feeling, and you were ethical, you go to the person and say, what do you think about, could we do this? Is there any way I could get an exemption from going to that party because I don't drink? That's making an exemption based on a principle, and doing it discreetly. Number two, these people that are loved and favored are respectful even in disagreements. That's why they're trusted even in disagreements. Let me ask you this. How many ever been somewhere where you're in total agreement with what was going on and the decisions that were being made? Anybody? I mean, you got married and you chose that person. And after about 3 months, you weren't in total agreement with everything that was going on. Good thing you said till death do us part, because someone's about ready to die. It doesn't matter if it's a church or a ministry or a company. It doesn't matter if it's a factory, a school. You will find disagreements. And here's what he did. Daniel came in. He was working. He was advancing. He was serving. He was submitting. But he reached a point of disagreement. And he said, I'm still going to be trustworthy in this disagreement. Did you know you're no different than anyone sitting in this auditorium today? Because everyone in here has some level of disagreement with the pastor, with the rules, with the standards, with the direction, with the doctrine, with the beliefs of this church. Everyone. My own wife does. My own brother-in-law does. My own children do. Doesn't matter how long you've been here. Brother Doyle, a respected friend. Marissa, my sister-in-law. Chris, my son. Jonathan, my son in the faith. I think my hand is stuck. We all have differences. Every one of us, the difference is some are trustworthy in those differences, respectful in those differences, and others are not. Here's where the prince of the eunuchs not only loved Daniel, but increased in his love and his respect, because Daniel, without causing a single problem, with talking to his fellow companions, without causing a scandal, he went to him, he sat down, he pleaded with him, he used logic, he used reason, and he said, we have here a problem. Can we solve this problem by doing a test? And I don't want to risk your position of authority, and I don't want to put you in danger, and I don't want to hurt you in any way. But can we do this and still make this function? A leader can greatly respect that. Amen. Sure. Daniel didn't go behind closed doors and cause a revolution. Sure. Well, Pastor, you don't understand my dad. Nope, your mom doesn't understand your dad. His parents don't understand him. That's not an issue. The issue is respecting him despite the lack of understanding. And Daniel, in a very respectful manner, went in before the prince of the eunuchs, and he said, this is my situation, and this is my solution, and this is what I'd like to do, and I want your opinion, and I want your permission, and it worked out. You know the test. And at the end of the time allotted, the Bible uses these words to describe Daniel. Fairer and fatter. You can liken me to Daniel. Fairer and fatter. Amen. I noticed a little bit of jealousy there from my brother-in-law. No, I'm not buying smaller suit jackets. I'm just fairer and fatter. You know what happened to Daniel? He submitted in a biblical fashion. Now there is a biblical fashion. Because This would not have been biblical had he said, okay, I'll drink the wine. He could have easily done that. I'm not going to become intoxicated. I'm not going to become a drunk fool, but I'm going to drink the wine and eat the meat. That would have been easily justifiable. And here's what we're seeing in society. Young ladies and Christians that go to work and they say, well, you know, you can't wear that in our business and make people feel very uncomfortable. So you're going to have to, you can wear a skirt. It just needs to be a mini skirt. And they say, okay, I'll do it here. So you're breaking a Bible principle to keep peace with the authority. God is your first and foremost authority. So I've worked in place before. Well, you're going to have to work on Sunday. No, well, this is just twice a year. It doesn't matter if it's once every 10 years. I don't work on Sunday. That's God's day. You can't make an exception. Let me pray about it. No. I love this place. And I love the job, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I'd love to stay here. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to plead, but I just need you to know, as a Christian, I can't work on Sunday, so we need to come to some kind of agreement. If I'm forced to work on Sunday, I've got to look for different employment. It puts me in a bad spot, and I don't want to be in a bad spot. But I can't make an exception because next month I'll have to make another exception. And in the end, I'm breaking a Bible principle. Just can't do it. So we just need to find some kind of agreement here and live with the outcome. But Christians are bending their principles under the guise of being obedient to authority. It has nothing to do with authority. It has to do with income. And then loss of income creates a problem. So here's what Daniel said. I'm going to be biblically submitted, which means I'm going to be ethical, but I've got to stand on principle. Did you know he was still biblically submitted when the king made the decree, Darius, that you're not going to, well, it wasn't really Darius, but it's the other leaders in the kingdom that were out to get Daniel. They couldn't find any way to attack him. They made the decree against praying. So Daniel went up, heard the decree, opened his windows, knelt down, and prayed. He probably said, Lord, you know what? This is a little awkward in this position, but I just want to make sure everybody in the kingdom, if they look up here and they live too far away, they notice someone in a prayer position. I doubt he normally prayed exactly like that. He just wanted to make sure the kingdom saw that he was praying. Because God is our first and foremost authority. And folks, we're living in a day and age where sooner or later, things that God commands us to do will be made illegal by our culture and by our society. It's already taken place. When government is so brazen that they will say, not only do you have to sell a cake, but you have to go to the wedding and work. That couple in Oregon, it wasn't, you know what the media's done? It lied to the general population. That wasn't about selling a cake. That was about forcing that couple to go serve that at that homosexual wedding. And then after not only closing them down and commanding them to be silent, made them pay a fine, and after the fine was paid, still empty their bank account and still shut the business down. You're talking about a government that is out of control. You might as well. You say, preacher, be careful. It's a rabbit trail. Not a rabbit trail. You might as well take your billfold, put it underneath your bed, because you have a government that says, if you're not doing things for the whole homosexual community exactly like we want it, we'll take every dime you have. So don't think for a minute that Daniel was unsubmissive, because he said, listen, Darius, I've been honest. And Darius knew that. That's why he was fighting to save his life. I've been honest. I've been ethical. I've been trustworthy. But in this area, I must obey God first. You know what? Even the world can respect that. Number four, loved and favored means someone is wise way beyond his years. Young people, you know, you don't have to wait till you're 21 to be wise. You can be an idiot at any age. You know what one of my biggest gripes is in life? It's seriously, right here. Mark it down. Write this in the back of your Bible. If pastor has any complaint, it says that stupidity is not illegal. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, I deal with enough stupidity. It doesn't matter if it's in junior high or high school, the Christian school, or the college, or just in general. It'd be nice if they just outlawed it. You can be an idiot forever, young people. But if you're going to be loved by authority, that means at some point you need to be wise. The Bible does say something about wisdom and searching and seeking for wisdom. Right? Matter of fact, God put an entire book in the Bible on the subject to help us out. Look what it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 18. Proverbs 4, 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, young people. Young people, let me help you out here. Your life's never going to get any better without wisdom. Oh, you can do a million things, but until you get wisdom, life doesn't get any better at all. Daniel 1, 18. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of what? Mark those two words, wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better. Now, we've all heard and we've even preached that these boys were 10 times better. But scripture says in matters of wisdom, they were 10 times better. You know what any authority likes? When someone under that authority shows wisdom. Boy, that's going to make them a favorite. Why, I wish I was daddy's favorite. Show a little bit of wisdom. Well, I wish I was my youth pastor's favorite. Just don't strive to be an idiot 24/7. Occasionally surprise him with moments of wisdom, seconds, brief moments, doesn't matter. Look what it says in Daniel 10, verse 12. Now I know back in the Old Testament times, the gift of knowledge and Daniel's ability to understand and reveal the meaning of dreams. Listen, we all know that. It's nothing new. You didn't just shock us by that revelation. But the bottom line is this. They had been endued by God with supernatural wisdom because they had sought. If you read the book of Daniel, here's what you're going to see. Daniel was in constant pursuit for wisdom, and he was doing it on his knees. I believe we'd have a lot of teenagers that were wise if they'd be pursuing wisdom on their knees. God, I want you to give me wisdom. Wisdom how to deal with this relationship. Wisdom how to please my parents. Wisdom how to honor and glorify you. Wisdom how to make this boss happy. Wisdom how to be a better worker. Wisdom how to get better grades in school. Look what it says, Daniel 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood 121 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me. He said, listen, I was fasting and I was praying for 21 days. Daniel was. And God was sending him the answer by way of an angel. But he was withstood by Satan so strongly that God had to send a second angel, Michael by name. Verse 14, now I am come to make thee what? Understand what shall befall thy people. You know why Daniel was fasting and praying for 21 days? He was doing it to understand and have wisdom sufficient to maintain his position and to answer the king and to respond to the prophecy that God had given him. Here's what we think, that God gave Daniel everything on a golden platter. God said, I'm going to give you some special prophecy, and I'm not even going to give you the ability to understand it. And Daniel fell on his face 21 days saying, God, I need supernatural wisdom. When you get that serious about wisdom, you will have wisdom. And when you have wisdom, you have the ear and the attention and the love and the respect of those in authority. It's hard for anyone to respect an idiot. Let's fast forward to number 5. Loved and respected, these are people that have both a spirit of excellence and an excellent spirit. Go with me to Daniel 6. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was, what's it say? That's what we're talking about tonight. Being loved and preferred and respected. Why was he preferred? An excellent spirit was in him. How many of you are in a position of authority and you can overlook a lot of the faults and defects of those under your authority as long as there's a right spirit? How many say, yeah, I can do that? Right spirit covers a multitude of mistakes. And here was Daniel, one of the preferred, because in each situation, each circumstance, there was a right spirit, and leadership loves a right spirit. Now, here's what we got to understand in all this. You say, Pastor, what's the message? We're just now getting to it. Here's the whole message in a nutshell. This life, young people, this life is much bigger than us. God's plan is much bigger than me. And it doesn't matter if I was in high school or in college. It doesn't matter if I was working in a church or in marriage. It doesn't matter where I was at. I've always been under authority. Always placed myself under authority. I don't have one. You have one pastor. I have several pastors. Before I ever make any major decisions, before I ever give you people an answer, a lot of times when making or giving advice, I'll tell people, give me 24 hours. We'll think about it, pray about it. And I'll fast and I'll pray. And I'll call some of those men that I consider my pastor and get their counsel on the subject. I'm submitting myself to authority. But here's the key. When you get to the point in life when you understand this life is so much bigger than you, because this is about fulfilling God's purpose. So this isn't about making one person happy in the church. This isn't about appeasing you or helping you with your agenda. This isn't about hurting someone or helping someone. Folks, it's much bigger than that. This is God's plan. This is God's will. This is God's agenda. It doesn't matter if I'm hurt. It doesn't matter if my reputation is hurt. It doesn't matter how you look at me or feel about the decision. This is something much bigger. And that's what Daniel had to keep in mind. This is about a kingdom of lost, degenerate souls. And I may be the only light in this kingdom. So if there's no light in the palace, there's no light in the kingdom. And as we saw, and Brother Logan so eloquently preached back at Michigan Conference, we're talking about 4 different kings, 4 different kingdoms. They all 4 at some point said, the God of Daniel is the God of the universe, and they proclaimed it on a national level. You know why? Because Daniel never lost sight of the fact, this is bigger than me. Let's read the last verse and we'll be done. Look what it said in Daniel 6:25. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Do you see this is a universal decree made by a man that's an absolute heathen, but because of the influence of Daniel, he wrote unto all people, nations, and languages, all those that dwelt upon the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. The world, the entire world was told by the leader of the known world, you will recognize one God as the true God, the God of Daniel, because Daniel never lost sight of the bigger picture. And when you have problems with authority, here's what you're doing. You're saying at the cost of souls, because of me and my agenda, my will, my desire, I'm going to put myself in conflict with authority. And God cannot work through you in conflict with authority. God's light cannot shine through you while you're in conflict with authority. God's will cannot be done while you're in conflict with authority. Daniel said, I will not create that conflict, because ultimately, if God's allowed me into the palace and uses me in the palace, that light may shine all the way to the king. And if it shines to the king, it may shine across the kingdom. This is bigger than me. And anybody that makes their life about fussing with authority has said, the biggest thing on the planet is me. And I need authority to understand that. Daniel could have been one of many. Daniel could have been a problem instead of a solution. Four kings, lost kings, heathen kings, wicked men, stood up after meeting Daniel, and all four had the same commentary. This God, the God of Daniel, is the God of gods. That's what a right relationship with authority will do in the big picture when God's will is fulfilled. Father, we pray tonight, Father, you'd help us all, no matter what the age, to understand the importance of authority in our lives, the purpose of God being fulfilled through authority, saved or unsaved, backward, disjointed. Father, how often we plead for perfect authority instead of simply submitting to your will and your authority.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.